Dave O'Connor de Gael, the Fontekerry Sportsline on Scariff Bay Community Radio. Good afternoon, everyone. You're welcome once again to Sportsline here on Scariff Bay Community Radio on 88.3 FM and 92.7 FM in association with Dale Credit Union. And on today's show, we have a very, very busy show. We have predominantly hurling and, of course, camogie. And I'm delighted, as always, to be joined by co-presenter Pat McNamara and our special guest today, our Munster-winning minor fullback from Killinina, Ronan Keane, Clare Senior camogie manager John Carmody, and we're delighted to be joined also on the line by a member of Kilkenny City Community Radio and former president of the GA, Nicky Brennan. And now we're delighted to be joined on the line by one of the heroes of a band of heroes that captured the Munster Minor Hurling Championship last Tuesday night with a massive victory over Cork down in Turles. A man who has given inspirational performances right from the start of this championship. It's Killinina man, Ronan Keane. Ronan, you're welcome to Scariff Bay Community Radio.
And thanks for having me, Leo. Some introduction there.
Look, the introduction is a very small thing compared to what you have done. And Ronan, it's a pleasure to have you here, and you know, a pleasure to know you first of all, and a pleasure to have you on the programme. And from all here on Scariff Bay Community Radio, many congratulations to you and all the family and all the Clare team on a marvellous achievement. Ronan, when the final whistle went the other night down in Turles against Cork, what was the feeling? Elation, relief, maybe obviously plenty of, maybe overjoyed or plenty of joy. What was the feeling straight after the final whistle?
Oh, just pure elation, pure happiness. Like never ever felt it before. Now, just nearly the best moment of my life. Like it's so hard to describe that when that final whistle went. Like just last run of myself completely, running over to lads and things. Just unbelievable, like.
Yeah, and Ronan, you know, it has been a tremendous championship for Clare right from the start. Okay, obviously, in the night, and there's always little blips at different times in the with younger players in the Gaelic Crowns, but it is a great championship to win, because the format is so, you know, it's every team gets to play everyone. You know, there's no heightened test, there's no excuses. Anyone can beat anyone in any given day. And then to come out at the end of the day and obviously beat a team that had already beaten you, didn't beat a Cork team who were favoured by many. You can't say but that you are worthy winners, Ronan.
Yeah, I know, but I think that day blowing the Gaelic Crowns, losing is what made the team really, like, it drove us on an extra gear or two. Taking experience from that, like, we probably got a bit complacent after the Tipperary game, after winning that, so we kind of... We knew we couldn't take any team for granted again after that, like, and we kind of kicked on since then, done serious training since then as well, like.
And as you speak about serious training, Ronan, this team hasn't only been training, this team has been in development for 4 years. Obviously, the training for this season started way back when, you know, obviously for yourself, you missed out in a year there, and people were wondering whether you would be able to come back and play in the Clare jersey, but some people can come back from injuries and play, but you've come back an even better and stronger player for your injury, and maybe more steel, more determined than ever, Ronan.
Yeah, I was lucky last year when I came in. All right, we came back in. Joe O'Connor was over last year, and he was nearly... He'd get some credit now for the win last Tuesday, the work he'd done last year, in fairness. Like, he did a serious block training, like... Serious, you know, we had the game plan off from last year, like, even just running hard, building the play, all that kind of stuff. Like, it was all ingrained in us from last year. Especially, I missed out in 15, the right, so I've only really done under 16 year now. But the training last year and this year, you know, there isn't really much of a difference. Like, they were so tough, like, and so good, like, in fairness to every coach we've had, like.
Ronan, Pat here, massive congratulations first of all from me and from everybody, I suppose, in the club above as well in the area. First, as in Munster off air, first Munster Mine Middle to Cahar Murphy, and a brilliant honour for yourself and the family and the club. But just wondering there, you mentioned the club yourself, and I suppose it starts there, doesn't it? You've had good lads involved at club level up along, and you know, you've had your injury problems, as we know, and you've overcome them brilliantly. But I suppose that starts with the club, and that's where you formed your love for the game.
Oh yeah, just seeing so many lads from Killena on the pitch after was special, like, as well. And all the best wishes before and all the well done after, like, you know, it does mean a lot, like, in fairness.
Yeah,
representing something so special, like going out wearing the Clare jersey, like.
And it's great to hear a young man appreciates that as well of your age, because maybe some lads wouldn't appreciate it sometimes. Ronan, one thing I'd love to ask you is, you know, county minor hurling is a very high standard, and if I was to ask you, what's the biggest difference between playing at that level and, you know, developing into that level and winning a Munster final, what is the difference in the kind of the game it is towards, say, a club level underage game?
I'd say physicality, kind of, and just the amount of running is, like, you know, I cramped four out of the six games we played.
Yeah, we know, like, that, but we know the game was won at all those stages, thankfully.
Yeah, but no, the physicality of it is very tough now, in fairness. Like, besides the Cork boys, the last thing now, we're a huge team, like, all together. And yeah, Limerick as well, are very well. We are as well, in fairness. You know, we have, you know, years of conditioning done. Like, we're a very conditioned team, like. But physicality is something else, like, all right, out on the field, like.
And when you're and Ronan, when you're doing all that physical work that you now have to do for the modern game, I know it isn't everybody's liking, but I suppose it's drudgery and it's pain and it's tiring and everything else. But I suppose the payback is a day like Tuesday evening, and you have that, as you said, unbelievable feeling at the end of the game you never had before. That makes it all worthwhile, even though there's a lot of hard work involved.
Oh, fact about that, like, the whole few years of conditioning, training, everything, all them years were worth it for that final whistle on Tuesday. Like, the elation was just, it was something else, like, never experienced anything like it before.
And of course, Ronan, the season isn't over, and I know you're back in training again, and no doubt Brian O'Connell and Donal Maloney and the boys, you know, they tremendous success, and congrats to them as well. They won't let you rest in your laurels. But there's a small matter of an All-Ireland Championship to play for now, and, you know, the benefit of the other night, win or lose, was getting to an All-Ireland semi-final, obviously winning. You're playing the losers of Galway and Kilkenny, who play this weekend in the Leinster final.
Yeah, they're playing on Friday, so we'll watch that game, I suppose, and see who we're playing, do a bit of work on them in the build-up to next week now. But it's a quick turnaround, all right, which is probably a good thing in a way, like, you're not resting, and we're coming in on a very big high, like, winning the Munster final, coming in as Munster champions, like, which is a huge confidence booster as well.
And Ronan, you said, you know, it is coming thick and fast, and, you know, obviously you're going to school down in Scariff Community College, and rest. How does a man at intercounty minor standard get the? And I know you're in 50 or whatever, to get the proper rest. Is it hard to fit it in? No one in Killinane, but there's plenty of work to be done.
I just always get the books done anyway. That's the first thing for me, I suppose. The hurling kind of fits in after, like. But no, I'm finding it not too hard to balance now, in fairness. Like, kind of just, it's all that's going on, really, like, in fairness. It's not just the hurling training and doing bits and then doing a bit of schoolwork. Like, it's not the worst balance in the world. And look, yeah, I'm not doing the leave and starting out this year.
Yeah, you can save all your injuries for that next year now, maybe, and a bit of hurling as well. Ronan, one of the things that was mentioned by Owen Gunning, I think, and I think most young lads, and I think those of us who know all your backgrounds would know that, I suppose, an awful lot of credit must go to the fathers, the mothers, the parents of players like yourself, especially living far away from the training area, like we are remote enough in that sense. You know, your mum and dad, James and Bernie, put an awful lot into getting you to where you are. I know the hurling is all your own and the ability you show, but I suppose they put massive effort into driving your training, matches, all the other meetings, injury issues in hospitals and the whole shebang. So I suppose we'll give a bit of credit to old James there and young Bernie.
Yeah, and the two brothers as well.
James and Garrod, yeah.
I was going to say,
the taxi service David was running, but it was so special meeting them on the pitch after. I'd say Seamus was one of the first people I met, like, him. That was just special, like, in fairness, meeting him, like, after meeting Dad and meeting Grod, like, just moments I'll never forget, like, in fairness.
Never will, and I suppose that's the good of having the older brother with a good care as well, and able to move it, so credit to all the family members.
And he doesn't spare it either, there's no doubt about that.
Well, I wouldn't know about that, no, but I'm sure, Ronan, as I said, it's very important to mention the family, and in fairness, you got it across there. So fair play on that. Well, one other question, Ronan, my own curiosity. I met your dad earlier today, and I just asked him this, but he was maybe, I don't know. Brian Collin mightn't be listening now, but if you had your choice yourself, what position would you love to play in? Would you prefer to play in? If you had the choice now,
I'd prefer to be stuck in the backs anyway, slaving away back there than the forwards. All right.
Yeah. Fairly. Yeah. Number six, maybe?
There's less running to be doing back there.
Pat, as you know yourself, good players can play
anywhere. Oh, I agree with you, but was there another position he'd love to play in? But he could play anywhere, the same.
Yeah. Ronan, as we have you there, right, you know, growing up, who, obviously you're a full back now, you can, obviously a half back maybe in time to come, and comfortably you played in the forward as well. When you were growing up, who was your idol that you looked up to say, God, here someday, I wouldn't mind being like that fella? Who would be your idol?
I'd probably say Bubbles O'Dwyer from Tip. I used to be a bit of a forward growing up, so I always loved the way he hurled hands and things.
Absolutely right.
Yeah, brilliant wrists and much the same as yourself.
And Ronan, before we go from that point, there's young lads now 12, 13, 14 looking, and they say Ronan Keane is going to be their idol very shortly, if he isn't already. That's the way it's going to
go. Isn't looking in one for the future? There's no doubt about that. Ronan, obviously, you're as you said, you got the balance. You're getting the balance there between the books and the hurling. So it's a great way to be. Looking forward to an All Ireland semi final. This is what dreams are made of, and playing on the best pitches in the country as well, Ronan.
Yeah, it is the stuff of dreams now. All right, coming out onto Turles, the last stage, down the tunnel like, and. No, it was lined with selectors and the subs and things. Like, it's just, it's unbelievable. Like, it's the only way of describing it. Like, the whole day on Tuesday now was just unbelievable. Like, and the pitch and Turles, like,
it's a carpet, really, isn't it?
It's hard to describe. Like, it's pure carpet. Like,
perfect. Yeah.
Ronan, can I ask you one question? Because it doesn't show in your hurling or anything. Do you do nerves at all? Because you just seem to be, obviously, it kind of goes with the territory of the family, cool as a breeze.
I was nervy enough now for the final, all right. I wasn't too bad for the group games, but both now in on the final, I was a bit of a nervous wreck, all right. Now I wasn't doing much talking or nothing, but by the time we got out doing the warm-up and things, in fairness, they'd kind of blown away.
Yeah.
So, and I think that showed in all of us, we kind of got a fast start against Cork. We kind of slowed down a bit then, but it was important to get the early start like the last day, because you couldn't start slow against them, like, they're a serious team.
Ronan, can I ask you one last question before you go? You know, you're a Munster medalist, Munster champion, something that's never been forgotten. It's your first of many, of that I have no doubt. For younger players coming up now in Killinane, East Clare or whatever, what advice would you give? You know, and you've been through the mill with different things, with injuries and that. What advice would you give to younger players setting out on their career, 13, 14, setting out on development squad career? What advice would you give them that hopefully they will be in the same position as you, maybe in 2 or 3 years' time?
Definitely to just listen to the coaches and what they're saying, like, because even if you don't agree with them at times, like, they do know more than you about the game, like, and especially if you can, you know, break onto the development squads at kind of under 14, under 15, like, the stuff you just pick up, like, that really brings on your game, in fairness, and just sticking to the conditioning plan and everything, and just start hard work, like, really, and just days like Tuesday are worth every bit of the hard work you put in.
As we said, Ronan, Tuesday is only the beginning of the trophies, and hopefully in a couple of weeks' time, the Clare will be All-Ireland minor champions. Of that, I have no doubt. Ronan, it's been a massive pleasure to have you here on Scariff Bay Community Radio, your first interview of many. You're a very measured men and well-grounded men, you know, the way you are, you couldn't be but the way you are with the way you play for the club and the county. As we said, it's a pleasure to have you on here. We wish you and all the Clare players and all the management and all the family as much more congratulations once again on your Munster success, and hopefully looking forward to more in the All-Ireland. And by the way, congratulations all to your family on your first cousin with Keith, and of course Ian McNamara. You know, they're really flying the flag for Killinane and East Clare up there, and we wish you all the very best luck in the upcoming matches, Ronan.
Thanks, Pat. Thanks a million, lads.
Very well done, Ronan. Congrats again. Well, man, best of luck in the rest of it.
Song of all.
You're going to do it.
Gormila Mahagot. And once again, thanks to Ronan Keane for taking the time to talk to us and their jubilant Munster Championship victory. And we can now go from one winning team in a Munster Championship to another team preparing to claim Munster Championship glory in, later on today in Simple Stadium in Turles. The Clare Senior Camogie players go out in their back-to-back Munster Senior Finals, and very few will forget the epic encounter down in Parker in last year. Unfortunately, defeat came in the very end, but what a performance Clare gave in the Camogie game of the year down in Parker in last year. But I tell you, they're a resilient crew, and they're back again in the Munster final, where they're taking on Tipperary in Simple Stadium Turles later on this evening. And we're delighted to be joined on the line by the Clare Senior Camogie manager, John Camley. John, you're welcome once again to Scariff Bay Community Radio.
Thank you.
John, first of all, a great sign of a team, you know, back in a Munster finals don't come easy, and to appear in back-to-back Munster finals, first of all, is a massive achievement.
Easily, yes. You know, hopefully being there now, last year's experience will stand to us, and you know, any nerves won't be there on Saturday. The fact that we've been there last year, and hopefully the girls will relax and go out and hurl as they're going to need to hurl to win a Munster final.
And John, I suppose, obviously, going back, turning back the clock 12 months, and okay, apart from the Munster final, Clare played Tipperary in the same venue this evening and gave one of their great performances. The first day, getting the draw down in Simple Stadium, and then even better than the performance the following week in the Gaelic Grounds, and then even improving again for the match in Cork. Unfortunately, didn't work out. But as you said, experience is key, John, and Clare look forward to relish against the Tipperary challenge later on this evening.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it, Leo. We will. Like, I mean, I suppose that draw in Simple Stadium last year was a catalyst for, you know, put a bit of belief into the group, and we built on that, and you know, produced an even better performance in the Gaelic Grounds in the replay, and upped it again for the Munster final. So, you know, hopefully similar on Saturday evening. Like, we haven't played at that level yet this year, and we'll need to bring that on Saturday and a bit more. And you know, we feel it's in the group. They've been training well. Saturday evening, we probably have near enough to our strongest 15 to date available starting the game. And we'd be hoping for a huge performance from the girls.
And John, I suppose, obviously, you know, it's going to be a real, with the Championship looming, the All-Ireland Series looming, you know, it is a barometer to see where Clare are. And look, without stating the obvious, the performance against Tipperary in the league was not what you wanted. It is a measure to see how far the team has come, which and there's no doubt they've improved going by their performances, especially against Limerick, the Leicester, which they won quite comfortably. It is a chance to assess and see where you are 6 weeks on.
Well, absolutely. I suppose, one eye ahead to huge games against Down, Galway and Cork coming up. This is going to be a huge barometer of where we're at as a group, and you know, what strides we are making towards getting ready for that All-Ireland Championship. Munster silverware on offer as well, you know, so there's no shortage of motivation. So, you know, I'm expecting a huge performance from the girls, and whether that could be good enough for you. I mean, you saw there was a huge gap when we played them down the rag in the league. I know personnel are quite different going out on Saturday evening, but nevertheless, Tipperary were hugely impressive that evening, hugely impressive throughout the league campaign, and dismantled Waterford last Saturday evening. So,
who had already defeated Cork in an earlier round?
Yeah, that's it. You know, Waterford very impressive the week before. So, like, Tip out a farm team this year. So, you know, the return of Emer Lachman, Karen Kennedy has, Trace Ryan in the middle of the field has really, improved the group they had last year. So, they're playing the farm camogie in the country, and we know that. And we're going to have to match that and match their physicality on Saturday evening, and you know, bring a bit of our own game to it, hopefully.
There's a general consensus that your move the last day against Limerick to put Susan Daly full-back, Clare out centre and Niamh O'Dea up centre-forward was a very positive move for the team and his performance. It kind of strengthened the he further up the field and gave me more options. It kind of, Niamh O'Dea is such a brilliant player to distribute and carry the ball, etc. So that was a very kind of a positive thing everybody felt, and did you see it that way, that it worked well, and is it something that you know that there are other options you can take like that as well?
I suppose, Pat, you're looking through the league and you're trying to find a balance, and you know, you're looking at days like the defeat below on the Reg in Tipperary and seeing,
yeah,
you know, can we get the balance in the team a bit better? And to be fair to Susan Daly, she's probably the foreign player in the camp this year. She's been outstanding, and she has stepped up to the plate and made the full-back position her own. And in turn, that has released Claire Heher. And you spoke about Leave O'Dea, you know, Leave is a leader wherever you play her. But, yeah, you know, we're kind of building our game around her game at centre-forward now, and, you know, attacking at pace off ball that Niamh will win, hopefully, and hopefully that'll pay dividends.
Yeah, and of course, you know, it's great to see players striking form at the right time, and I suppose the form of Bonnie O'Loughlin the last day was a massive bonus as well. The skill that girl has, first of all, girl, and the shot she can get off quickly, you know, great score and a couple of points, and get a goal and a couple of points as well. So the options are improving all the time, with, again, younger players coming in off and on. And of course, again, I have to mention Orla Duggan, since she came back from her layoff, I think she's been very influential. So your options are improving all the time, John.
Yeah, that's it. And you know, the return of Aoife Keane and Emer Kelly as well, played their first full game two weeks ago against Limerick. So that game will hopefully bring them on. And, you know, they're two very experienced quality players as well. So, you know, they weren't available to us down in the Reg. And also the emergence of some young players, Pat. You know, it's about developing, as we have said, like throughout the league, we needed to train those young players and give them game experience. And, you know, maybe we pay the price in results for one or two games, but it wouldn't be, you know, that wouldn't bother me. Yeah. It was important that the girls got minutes into them, got to see what it was all about. And, you know, we have a bench on Saturday even though, and we need it. We picked up a few injuries, and we'll be dipping into that bench on Saturday even in the second half.
No doubt.
And John, you know, to be fair, you said at the outset to be judged on your championship performance, Munster Championship. Obviously, you were using the league, as you said, to develop players. It's very much on track, John, at this moment in time.
It appears to be, Leo. I suppose I talked to Saturday evening in Turles around half five. We'll have that answer, you know. But yeah, I'm happy with the group, and I'm happy with how they're preparing, Leo. And it's only on days like Saturday evening we gauge really where we're at. I mean, Tipperary are up there now with Galway, Kilkenny, and Cork, and you know, we're playing Cork and Galway in the All Ireland series, and. You know, we really need to go toe-to-toe with Tipperary on Saturday if we're going to be, you know, creating what will be a shock if we can beat one of those in the All-Ireland series.
And, John, it's no coincidence that Clare's best performances in the Camogie have been, as curtain raises to the hurling game, you know, especially with the games last year, you know, the game against Limerick to Leicester. These occasions, John, seem to bring the best out in the girls.
They do, Leo. They're putting a lot into it, you know, and it's only right that they get to play on you know, the Hollow Turf or Simple Stadium and the Field of Dreams, as they call it, you know. So the girls, the hair will be standing in their neck in the warm-up below there on Saturday at 3 o'clock. And, you know, they're conscious. They're quality hurlers, and they relish the chance to play in those arenas and with the crowd filling in. And you know, today it has brought the best out of them, and hopefully that will continue on Saturday evening. They don't seem to be fazed by it. They seem to relish it, and, you know, hopefully they'll be buoyed by the performance of our minors and under-21s this week. But, you know, what fantastic wins for underage hurling and Clare, and, you know, we'd be sent to our girls when we hit the field on Saturday, that there's no reason why they can't replicate those performances, but they have to leave on the field what those boys left on the field if they're going to be victorious.
John, we wish you and the crew all the very best of luck in Simple Stadium this evening, and thanks for taking the time to talk to us here once again on Scariff Bay Community Radio.
Appreciate that, Ted. Thank you.
Best of luck, John.
And once again, thanks to John Carmody for taking the time to talk to us as they look forward to the Munster Camogie final later on this evening in Simple Stadium. Now we moved from Camogie, we moved back to hurling, and we're delighted to be joined on the line for the first time here by a man who has given his lifetime to the GAA, but on and off the field in County Kilkenny, rose to the highest office in the land in the GAA, being a former president of the GAA. We're delighted to welcome Nicky Brennan. Nicky, you're welcome to Scariff Bay Community Radio.
And a pleasure to be talking to you, lads.
Hi, Nicky.
Nicky, first of all, the championship is in full swing at the moment, and, you know, we're kind of nearly down to the pairings for Leinster finals and Munster finals, with only a couple of games to go this weekend. Before we get talking about the subject, Clare and Waterford in Simple Stadium later on this evening. Your views on that one, Nicky?
Well, it hasn't gone too well for Waterford so far, anyway, and Davy will have a bit of you'll have a bit of work to do to get Watford on track. Now, rather ironically, we're recording this on the Thursday night, so just after discovering that Davy was in Kilkenny today in Anissa Mines Secondary School, giving a motivation talk to the Leaving Cert. So he obviously was heading down to Watford for training tonight. So he clearly will feel that the little break after the Cork match will help them, and he'll need to get all his players back. Clare going very well, and will be really buoyed by this victory over Limerick. So Watford have a big job on their hands, because clearly lose this and their season is over. So they'll need to be a big kick in Clare, but they'll have a lot to do now to overcome a big kick in Watford, I should say. They'll need to be at their very best to overcome a Clare team that's playing with a fair degree of confidence at the moment, and a lot of energy, a good off-the-shoulder passing, good movement, and a strong physicality, which you need as well. So Clare are in a good position at the moment, and they will go in favourites on Saturday evening. And maybe that's the time that Watford just might find their mojo, as they say, because they have been disappointing so far in the Championship. Maybe some players absent and all of that, but he need to bring his full deck to Thurles at the weekend to take on Clare, because without that, Clare, I think, would win the game.
And Nicky, what are your thoughts on the rest of the Championship so far? What do you think of the standard of the games that have been played? And you know, not all people have seen all the games, but what do you think of the standard of the Championship, both in Leinster and Munster to date?
Well, I think if we stay with Munster, obviously the Tip and Cork game was a cracking game. Now, having said that, I think both mentors will be unhappy with their defence, because there was a lot of goals conceded and a lot of scores. But certainly for the neutral watching the game, it was a classic. There's no question about that. And it ebbed and flowed, and it could have gone either way. Probably at the end of the day, a draw was a fair result. Clearly, Clare's performance in defeating Limerick, that was a big one, because, you know, Limerick are maybe down one or two players. And nevertheless, I thought Clare's approach, but because they're neighbours, I think, in that, and Clare never mind going into the Gaelic grounds to play Limerick. They know those lads very well. Many of them were in college together also. So they're able to rise their game. And that's what Brian Lawn will be hoping now, that you know, when they look at other opponents throughout the Championship, that they'll all must see green jerseys in front of them to motivate them. And but look, Limerick are not gone away. I think John Kiely will have been chastened by that loss to Clare, and I'm sure training has been very intense. But the big issue that could apply to any team, and I'll come to Leinster in a while, is the fact that injuries could impact it. Games are coming in fierce rapidity now. Many people don't like it. It's coming so fast in the condensed season. So players that get an injury now could be gone for a week or two or three, and that could impact. Key players could be missed. It could impact the how a team will play in that. So that's going to be a big factor. Tip lost a couple of players as well, Jason Ford and that. And they need all the teams need their big guns on board. And I don't think Tip are gone out of the Championship yet. I think there's still a couple of big games in Munster, because while Waterford lose this weekend, it's going to be down to Tip, Cork, Limerick and Clare, and it wouldn't be easy to know which one would fall out of that bit to end up with three. It's going to be very difficult. Plenty of big games in Munster yet to be played. But at this stage, you know, Clare will be very happy, because we're talking about Clare on Scariff BFM, of course. They'll be very happy with that, but it's nothing as assured, I think, in Munster yet. As regards Leinster, well, on the face of it, it does look like Kilkenny and Galway will be the two counties getting through. However, if Kilkenny defeat Dublin the next day, obviously there'll be a real shootout in Wexford Park in the last round, because unless Wexford were to defeat Kilkenny, it would mean that Wexford could be in trouble. Wexford will win the next match against Westmeath, and Dublin will have a match to play against Galway as well. So Dublin are not secure yet, but Wexford have to win their last two matches to be sure of getting into a third place. So there's a good bit of competition in Leinster at the moment still. Yes, Westmeath and Antrim are the two weak sides, and I was up in Antrim last Sunday, and I was very disappointed with them, because Kilkenny really had the game won in the first half. Right, Antrim had a good third quarter, but really Kilkenny were way, way ahead of them. And I thought there would be a better bite in Corrigan Park from Antrim, but it just wasn't there. So looking at Leinster at the moment, it does look like it'll be Galway 1, Kilkenny 2, and the toss-up at 3. Maybe Wexford might just get through if Galway defeat Dublin and Kilkenny defeat Dublin. And I think Wexford just might pull something out of it in the end.
And Nicky, just before we leave the Munster-Leinster thing, I mean, there's general consensus that the Munster Championship is extremely competitive, and I think it is. Leinster, maybe not quite as competitive. unfortunate that Westmeath are at the hands of some big defeats. Do you think the potential return of Offaly to strength, they're gradually making progress, maybe in the near future getting back to the Leinster Senior Championship in a competitive way, will be a help in general, even though you had great rivalry over the years of the 80s and 90s there, and the 90s, early 90s. Do you think that'll be a benefit eventually, that, you know, you don't need the weaker teams?
Trill, yeah. Offaly now go to Carlow on Saturday evening, and they, now, if Carlow were to win that, it would mean the two teams would meet again in the Joe McDonagh final. But there's also a big game down in Kerry, between Laois and Kerry. So if Carlow were to lose, it could mean that Laois and or Kerry, whoever wins that, would actually get into the final. But Offaly look to be in the stronger position. I think I was speaking to Johnny Kelly a couple of times during the summer, you know, and he's really working hard to try and build up the strength of the team. Because a lot of the players were coming in fairly light and needed to get a bit more physical, and he knows that as well. Now, I think it's important for Offaly if they could win the Joe McDonagh this year and get into the Leinster Championship. But I think the important thing then would be to stay in it for a couple of years, because I do think they'll need a period in the Leinster Championship to kind of get used to what's going on. Yeah. It does help that they won, that they got to a minor All-Ireland, were very unlucky to lose it. They're now in a Leinster Under-20 final. Their schools won the Leinster Colleges this year, albeit a combined schools team, which I was watching, which is effectively their Under-20
team. This
is the very same team, in fact. So there's good progress being made. That's brilliant for hurling. But I think, you know, it does need a little bit of caution. There's still a fair bit to go to match what Kilkenny and even Dublin or Wexford or Galway have at this stage. But at least if they get up there and start playing in that sort of company, and also from a league point of view, get up as high as they can in the league, the tougher the games those lads get, the better. Because they made some progress under Michael Fennelly, but then slipped back again. So they just have to realise now that there's a lot of work ahead, and they shouldn't expect the lads who were minors or even the under 20s, you know, to be backboning that senior team. It's not going to happen yet, but it can happen over the next couple of years. And that's why they need to stay playing at the highest level possible to help those players.
Nicky, obviously, with the way hurling is going very well on the field, are you a favour of the split season as it stands at the moment?
I have an open mind on it. I think everything is very tight. There's no question about it. And I know that's one of the issues when we'll be chatting in a moment about the coverage of games and that, you know. But very tight. And I suppose from the general public point of view, going to matches week in, week out, it's a costly exercise now, given at a time when many families are feeling the pinch in the country. And that, so, I mean, there has been fantastic crowds all right down in Munster, to be fair. But nevertheless, it is the big games that are attracting the numbers. And I'm not totally convinced about it, but I understand the reason for it. But nevertheless, I think the season is very condensed now. And certainly a lot of people I speak to would be unhappy about it. But I think the reality of it is, lads, is that it ain't going to change that I'm aware of anyway. That's what I'm hearing. It's there to stay. And the notion of maybe the club season coming first rather than the inter-county season, I'm not sure that would go down too well with many people. So I'd say what's here, while it's still in the experimental phase, I still think it's not likely to change. That's what I'm hearing anywhere behind the scenes.
And Nicky, I know one of the questions we brought you on, I'll ask you tonight, apart from the Diego, is, you know, whatever about having the players on the field to play, there's been a big push here in County Clare recently, with the recruitment of referees. And we had a Clare referee, one of the Clare top referees, Ger Hoye, here a number of weeks ago saying about the job they had of trying to, you know, promote referees. Unfortunately, it came out in your own county there in the last couple of weeks where there was a referees strike. You know, and obviously if we don't have referees, we have no games. Whatever about having respect for players and all that, you know, it goes without saying that the referees are not getting the respect they deserve on the field of play, not only in your own county, but all over, Nicky.
No, I think that's a very fair comment. I think when it comes to Kilkenny, I checked with the county secretary before I went on that programme on RT the other night, and he told me out of they played a couple of hundred games or more in Kilkenny this year, in 2023, and I think five incidents were reported relating to abuse of some kind to the referees, which were dealt with by the county board. Now, the issue which caused the strike in relation to the referees was not so much about what was said to the referee at that minor match there 2 weeks ago, which was totally out of order, by the way, but it was rather a subsequent letter that was sent to the referee anonymously by an individual who as yet has not been identified. No, I think that matter is in the hands of the Gardaí. So, I mean, the letter went very public. So I think it was what was written in the letter was very raw in the extreme and was very hurtful. And I know the referee involved. His wife is the secretary of a well-known club in Kilkenny and a very, very good and efficient secretary as well. They were very, very upset over it. And I think the language in the letter was awful. And I think that's what prompted the referees to go on strike, rather than the actual bit of abuse he got on the sideline on the evening of the game. So it's it was terrible, and the referees were dead right in Kilkenny to strike. And I know the county board, to be fair, took the matter seriously, and they are going to be engaging with all clubs in the whole issue of respect for referees again, even though it's something that is ongoing in the county, as indeed it is in every county. But I think Kilkenny are going to undertake a specific education programme for club officials or mentors or whatever it is over the next while, just to push home the message again that respect for referees. If you don't do that, you won't have referees, and if you don't have referees, you don't have games.
Yeah, and I suppose, Nicky, it was a point I was going to make next to you, was Croke Park, you know, who are the head of our games and all that. Do you think there should be maybe a nationwide approach or from Croke Park leading the way, or should it be left to the respective county boards to tidy up the affair?
In fairness to Croke Park, no, they have a refereeing section in Croke Park. It's headed up by Donald Smith, the former from Meath.
Meath, yeah.
So I mean, they have a department up there that deals with all of that, engages with the referees, the inter-county level. I'm talking about. They meet very regularly, and obviously matters are discussed there, and they get various help and supports and all of that. So I think that's always there from the GA, and they have rolled out plenty of respect programs over the last 6 or 8 months. That has happened again. This is a case of where people involved in the club scene, less so the inter-county scene, just have to take on board the messages that are coming down. And obviously now with the new rules which were updated at the recent Congress as a result of issues that arose down in Wexford last autumn, Wexford put through their chairman, Micheál Martin, they put through a number of motions to Congress which were successful and which are now adding significantly higher penalties to any abuse of referees and issues like that. So anybody who gets involved in that area now and who are found to have committed an offence, the penalty is very, very serious now, and people could expect to be out of action in the association for a long, long time if they're found to be guilty of carrying out the abuse of match officials in that regard.
Yeah, and we welcome the cleaning up of the act and more respect to referees all over the country, no doubt about that. Nicky, unfortunately at the moment another issue that's been highlighted an awful lot lately is, unfortunately, many people can go to these hurling championship and football games to see the games. Obviously there's people at home that would look forward to watching the games and maybe on free-to-air television. That access has been denied at the moment because of the... Now, the games are being covered by GAA Go, who obviously can cover every fixture that takes place. But it is creating a big problem in rural Ireland, Nicky.
Well, it's creating a problem not just in rural Ireland, but everywhere. I mean, my understanding of it is, you know, for the benefit of your listeners, I haven't been involved in any of this aspect, but I think when Sky looked, I think, to get more games from the GA, and that wasn't forthcoming for whatever reason, the GA were left in an awkward spot. I think they had afforded Virgin Media an opportunity to bid for the business, but my understanding is that they didn't submit any bid for any aspect of coverage of the GA. Because, look, they have, and I'm not sure, I don't know if this is the reason, but we do know that they cover quite a lot of European soccer. And they cover, they're now covering League of Ireland soccer as well, and they cover rugby also. So maybe they felt that their financial commitment was tied up in that area. I don't know. But once Sky moved off the pitch, as it were, the GA was left in a bit of a corner because it had to find another outlet. Now, obviously, the outlet was that chose was GA Go. It has been extremely successful globally as a product. And they obviously felt that they could use it on the home market as well. Now, that was always going to be the case. That was always planned, but I suspect it probably came on board a little bit earlier than they probably would have hoped for. But the GA Go product is a very good product. It's still, you know, maybe there's tweaking to be done in terms of the presentation style and all of that, but certainly the manner in which it is presented by Gráinne McIlwain is quite good. There's younger players now who have recently retired doing analysis, and I think that's all generally positive, but there's probably some production things to be done. The issue really here is that for people who mightn't be very proficient in the use of technology, be it an iPad or a PC, accessing GAA Go, maybe they're not quite sure if they need help from family members or neighbours or something like that. So that's a bit awkward, and getting used to watching a match on a smaller device can be awkward. And then when you talk to people about, if you use terminology like Chromecasting that onto a big screen or using Apple TV, you're losing an awful lot of people when you get into that sort of language, and they don't understand it. So that's definitely a challenge there for many people, especially in the older cohort of people. And I have an involvement here in Kilkenny with the Age Friendly group here. And, many of those would be disappointed the way things have gone and concerned. And then finally, of course, there is an issue which is beyond the GA, is the whole issue of the quality of broadband, particularly in rural Ireland. That obviously, unless you have a decent broadband, you won't watch GA Go anyway, even if you don't have any technology challenges. So that's where it is at the moment anyway. I know there are people talking about what matches are going free to air and what matches are going on GA Go. But I mean, the notion that all matches can be free to air is just not realistic, because they're not the time slots on RTE for it. I mean, they have commitments, they have commitments towards the European Rugby Championships. The URC semi-finals are taking place this coming weekend. They have the European final. You know, you're going to have the Rugby World Cup down the line. You're going to have the Women's World Cup. There's multiple other sports that they now are covering as well. So the available slots, unless RTE is to develop another channel, it has RTE News Channel, but it possibly needs to develop another channel to give flexibility in terms of sports output. It's going to be tight, and it's going to be a challenge, and we're going to see maybe some key matches, such as the ones we've alluded to there, Clare and Limerick, albeit that was shifted from Sunday for a local event in Limerick, Cork and Tip. And in 2 weeks' time, we're going to have Mayo and Kerry and Donegal and Galway, for example, in the qualifiers in the football. They're going to be going on GAA Go, so the football fraternity are going to be up in arms then as well. So it's a bit of a dilemma that I think when the season is over, the GAA are going to have to sit down with RTE and consider how best to deal with the challenges that are there. And are they going to automatically show provincial finals of whatever hurling or football, even if some of those games, the result is a foregone conclusion? So there's some big decisions I think they have to make after this season, when the season is over. And I think those issues I've just raised are some of the things that need to be discussed.
And Nicky, you kind of briefly passed on the point there, mentioned the point. You know, there is the channel, the RT News Channel. How far away do you think that there is going to be, especially during the summer season, when there's lots of games and an awful lot of sport going on, how far down the line do you think there could be before there is a station specifically for sport? During the summer season.
Well, I mean, there won't be a station, but there could very well be. You could very well see RT maybe developing an additional channel. Virgin Media have a number of channels at the moment. I know you have RT One and RT Two, but I mean, there are those who don't have any interest in sport and who will feel they still want to have their soaps and their news and their films and all of that. So to be fair, There is a cohort out there who would just want a different type of entertainment, if I could put it that way. But I do think there's a case for maybe RTE to develop another channel. I mean, TG Cahill are covering a specific cohort of games anyway, and they didn't bid for the main games in that, because they're comfortable, you see, covering, like over this week now, they're covering under 20 and minor games, hurling and football across the country. And for many people, you know, it is brilliant that you can sit down here on a night and just watch the games on TG Cahir, and they're doing a brilliant job at that. So their resources have been put into that, and if they were expected to cover the big games, they wouldn't have the resources to cover these other games as well, and they'd be forgotten about. So, you know, it's not, you can't just turn around and say, well, can we not show it on TG Cahir as well? It's a question of resources and scheduling and things like that. So it is going to need a bit of a rethink now, because if we're going to have a lot less free-to-air games, you know, we need to make sure that the whole way we're going to be showing them through the GAA Go platform becomes an easier platform for people to use, particularly those that might be technologically challenged at the moment.
Nicky, there was a discussion on radio during the week on one of the national stations about this topic, and one of the contributors made the point that there was never as many matches available to see, whether it be on 3-to-air, TG Cahir, RTE, or indeed GAA Go, which is obviously reasonably priced. Obviously, the technical issue for the elderly, or for those with all the skills of technology and accessing, is something you have great sympathy for the cohort of people who have supported the GA all their lives. But maybe we're expecting an awful lot of entertainment sitting down at home, and maybe the able-bodied people who can afford to should be getting out watching more games live. That was the point being made. And so with two codes involved, hurling and football, condensed season, we're almost asking the impossible of the stations.
Yeah, no, I think that's a very valid point. I think you're right there. I think sometimes people get lazy if things are being put in front of them on a screen. But I think the only thing I will say about that is, while that's a fair point enough, I do think that with the condensed season, I made this point earlier in our chat, that the cost of going to games as well is can be prohibitive for a lot of people now who might be financially challenged for various different reasons. Now, this doesn't apply to the senior games, but it did apply during the league. Another issue that would have been raised with me by older people as well is the notion of having to buy your tickets online. Yeah. It's very different if you go into Super Value or Centre, where you can hand in your cash and get your ticket and away you go. But if you have to buy tickets online, that is becoming very awkward for people because, again, they might be technologically challenged. But equally, there's no guarantee that the older cohort of people, they might still be living in the period, in the area of cash. They might not have credit cards, so they mightn't be able to buy the tickets online. So a family member has to buy the ticket for them, or somebody in the club, and maybe they reimburse the club or something like that. So I think that whole area needs to be considered a bit further. I understand the reason why the GAA has gone cashless. There's all sorts of security reasons and advice from Garda Síochána that they simply should not be carrying cash because it's too risky, and there have been incidents over the years that maybe weren't publicised for fairly obvious reasons. But nevertheless, the whole issue of the cashless society, which is out there now and which we're all having to cope with, nevertheless, it does make it more difficult for older people in particular to get access to games unless they can buy all of their tickets in Centre and Super Value. And that's another issue the GAA is going to have to review. They won't change it in terms of going back to cash, but they need to make sure, how can we make it easier for people to get access to tickets, particularly, you know, if there's people who don't have credit cards and all of that. So that's another issue that needs to be put into the mix when the season is being reviewed in next September, October.
Yeah, as you said, Nicky, there's a lot of points brought up that have to be discussed, and you know, the GAA have, you know, time, once the season is over this year, get back and straighten out all iron out those problems, which would only help, you know, help the people and help people with games. And again, I think you made the point off air, Nicky, something that's going to have to be worked on, and you know, you're very good at doing it yourself with your involvement with Kilkenny City Community Radio. A lot of the time with all these problems, communication can be key.
Oh, absolutely. They never said it through a word. And I think that's where Croke Park have probably to get a little bit smarter. Get the message out there. I think once you hear the message, you might not always like the message you get, but they must get the message out and get it out fast. Because if you leave a period go by, well, media will, and we're all in the media in one way or another, people will make assumptions if you don't get the message out from the official party. So my belief is that if something has happened, get the message out and tell the people, be upfront with them as much as you can. And the message might not always be greeted with the way you want it to be greeted, but if you tell it truthfully and honestly, I think people generally will accept it. But not making comment, you're not going to get anywhere in that, because you're leaving it open to others to interpret then a situation. And it's like the chat shows during the week. I've been listening to stuff locally here and on the national airwaves and hearing individuals comment about the whole issue of GAA Go and all the stuff we're after talking about. And there's a lot of people very, very poorly informed. Now, when they talk about issues like the GAA trying to rake in the money and whatnot, the GAA Go product is a very cheap product.
It's a great product. It is a great product. Yeah, agreed.
And the bottom line is that last year, the product, which was only for an international audience, it brought in, there was a profit on the business of about 1.1 million, which was split between the GA and RTE. Now, there was a different debate altogether as to the how that company is structured and whether RTE are paying distribution rights for the games in that regard. That's a different day's work altogether. Now the company will probably should make more this year, although there will be more costs setting the business up to be used to cover more games in Ireland. But the principle is right here. The money is not the issue when it comes to this. The thing about it is making the access as easy as possible for people and better broadband. And I think that will solve a fair lot of the problems that we have encountered over the past couple of weeks.
There's no doubt about that. We concur with that completely. One final question for you, Nicky. In your great knowledge of the game and great interest in reading games, where do you think that Lee McCarthy is going to reside at the end of this season for 2023? a very easy question to finish with.
Yeah, that's about the easiest question you asked me tonight. Well, look, I mean, right now I'm not going to change from what I said many months ago, and that is Limerick. I still think Limerick are capable of, I think they have the strongest panel. Now, the proviso here is that they're not going to be down too many players. They're down Sean Finn at the moment, and he's gone for the year. Now, in my case, they have a fair replacement. He's had his injury issues as well. Provided they don't encounter any more significant issues and the likes of Keane Lynch is back, I think they also have probably one of the strongest panels that are there. So I still would put my money, if I was a betting man, I'd put it on Limerick. But there's plenty of stuff happening in Munster. I think Leinster, Galway and Kilkenny, they're not going to be a million miles away, but I'm not quite sure they're up to the level of Munster yet. But I will say this to kind of conclude: Munster Championship is so competitive that I often feel that by the time the three teams that come out of it are ready and gone into the All Ireland knockout phase, I often feel that they have expended so much energy getting through the Munster phase that when they come to meet the team from the Leinster side of things, you know, the Leinster team is often maybe that little bit fresher, maybe
well,
for
we
the
know
challenge.
It.
So, and that's something I think. Well, you know that from Clare yourself from last year, and that you know, and even in the All Ireland final, while Limerick were worthy winners, I mean, Kilkenny weren't a million miles away, and you know, so that could be a factor as well. There's a lot of big games to come in Munster. You're going to wear one another out a little bit further, and while Leinster is not going to be too soft for the line, Kilkenny gets Dublin and Wexford out of the way. Nevertheless, the intensity that's in Munster is at a bit of a higher level than Leinster, and that could be a factor in how teams will progress in the knockout stages. And ask me in a couple of weeks' time, and maybe I'd have a different view. But right now, I think the McCarthy Cup will be going back across the Shannon to Limerick.
And the Cats won't be too far away either, I'd say.
Well, you don't know. Look, I still think we have work to do, but I like the way they're shaping up in the last couple of weeks. There's a little bit more about them now. We did concede two hardly soft goals against Antrim last Sunday that will have Derek Ling a bit disappointed. I spoke to him after the game, and I know he wasn't happy about it. But I like the way the team is moving now, and he'll be back to full squad, I'd say, now in the next week for the next match. And they're progressing okay. I mean, Kilkenny can never be dismissed. They're always a serious contender. Right now, I don't think they're up there with a couple of the Munster teams, but I'd never dismiss Kilkenny any year.
There's no doubt about it. Whoever defeats Kilkenny will normally take the prize. Nicky, thanks very much for taking the time to talk to us here on Scariff Bay Community Radio. We wish you very well and continued success with your endeavours with Kilkenny City Community Radio, a brilliant service to all down in the Kilkenny region. And we thank you very much for giving of your time to talk to us here on Scariff Bay Community Radio. Gurumila Mahagut.
And a pleasure, lads. Keep up the good work. I'm sure we'll keep chatting to one another and keep the show on the road. Good luck to you and good luck at the weekend.
Keep communicating.
Yeah, stronger fall, Nicky. Stronger fall. And once again, thanks to Nicky Brennan for taking the time to talk to us. Pat, also as we come to the conclusion of the programme here on Sportsline today, there's also the big game next week in Turles for the under-20s. You know, a marvellous win the other night, you know, over Tipperary down in Simple Stadium. Going playing Cork, a team that has already defeated them, you know, in a close margin in an earlier game in Cusick Park. Terence Fahey has done great work and his team have done great work with this team. And a Munster final victory is not beyond this team on Monday night, Pat.
Oh, absolutely, not beyond them, Leo. I mean, this team has played some great hurling in the campaign. Again, things went a bit wrong against Cork. You know, a few scores were missed, and I mean, when you miss a lot of scores, you find it harder to win a game. But they're very competitive. A team that plays a good brand of hurling, a lot of good individuals. Terence has, and the lads has them primed, have them primed to be very, very competitive. They don't give in easily. A lot of good players, various parts of the field, putting up decent scores. But you know, it's a tough one. Cork, obviously, huge peak, huge amount of players to pick for. It's in the Gaelic Grounds Monday, isn't it, as far as I know? And but it's coming along in a time when Clare Hurling is on a great roll. The Minors have just been in the Championship, the 20s in the final, the winners, the Clare Seniors beaten the All-Ireland Champions. So Clare Hurling is on a bit of a roll, and I think that may help the team as well. I'm sure they'll talk about the fact that Clare now goes out, beats Cork and beats other teams in these big games, Limerick, and I think that'll give the players a lift. But they've given some great entertainment already.
They're not fazed by playing those teams anymore, Pat. You know, it's the other teams that should fear Clare now at this stage, I think, because Clare, the momentum is really with the banner this year. And, you know, when the banner is moving, the banner is roaring, you know, everyone is behind, and hurling is on at an absolute high at the moment.
Well, it is. And I mean, the Clare followers are out again. And, you know, this team has given a lot of good displays already this year. And I mean, a couple of draws early on, lost to Cork, all right, but a good win against Waterford, even though it was a narrow one. But they all count, and it's all building up momentum. And you know, again, the round robin has been such a brilliant series for these lads, bringing them from kind of the age of maybe 18, 19 up towards adult hurling. And that's, I suppose, the most important thing is developing these players. And you could easily pick out 6 or 7 or 8 players on that squad that you think will probably make good senior hurlers for Clare in the near future. So it'd be fantastic for Clare to win minor and under 20 in the same season. They're well capable of it. They'll get a serious test from Cork. There'll be a massive Clare following there, I'd say. Let's hope that we've seen us do it this evening and get the people in the mood for going again on Monday, that they won't win in a downer. But I think this team, regardless of what the Clare seniors do, have it within them to win the game. They need to be taking the chances. They need to be, you know, just maybe things to go right. But I think they're well capable, and I think it could be another marvellous night for Clare Hurling.
And also, Pat, a great involvement, you know, especially with Terence being from Whitegate and Andrew Fahey involved there. Brendan Bugler, of course, member of the team. You know, Tomás Kelly, member of the management that won this Hearty Cup with Tulla last year. So, you know, these guys have done it at the top and are continuing to do it.
And a great East Clare representation on the team as well. So, between management and players.
And panel, yeah.
Yeah, so look at, we're all proud of our own players on the panel. And look at, we just wish them well. I think they're capable of doing it. And I think you just feel momentum might be with Clare a bit. Cork obviously will have big, strong, tall guys. Ben Cunningham, we know what he can do. He's the one guy. And young Toomey, I think, as well. But
yeah, Cunningham quite, particularly. They've quite him before.
They have. But I think he has the potential to be a kind of a match winner. But I still think Clare on a bit of a roll in Gaelic Grounds, which should help the Clare crowd to swell the stands and the terraces. Let's hope there's a huge crowd and a great atmosphere. And yet another Munster underage title for Clare to bring home at about 8:30 or 9 o'clock on Monday night.
Yeah, we seem to like those evening games, and we wish Terence and his crew and all the players the very best of luck in that Munster final on Monday evening. And that concludes our sports show here today on Scariff Bay Community Radio in association with the Credit Union. My thanks, as always, to co-presenter Pat McNamara. Thanks to our guests, Ronan Keane, John Carmody, and, of course, Nicky Brennan. And we wish all the Clare team, especially in Camogie and Hurling, the very best of luck in the Munster Camogie final against Tipperary later on today, and also Clare in their Munster Senior Hurling Championship game against Waterford. Also, we must add our congratulations to the Clare underage Camogie's team, and especially under 16s, their great win over Waterford in the first round last Sunday in the 16A Shield, and continuing success in that tournament also. And all that remains, also, we cannot but forget our producer, Jim Collins. Without him, we wouldn't have a show. And thanks also very much to you, for the listeners, for tuning in to us here. And all that remains for me is Leo Dial, for Sportsline. Until we meet again, it's Bannock Day, August Lawn.